Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. I hope you're having a great day. We are going to dive into God's Word in just a few moments. I know I'm getting a late start today, but we're going to go into a series on hope, because how many of you know that we need hope in these last days? And going into 2026, we need more and more hope. And so I want to encourage you to tune in for the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days. I think it's going to be 12 days that we're going to do on the Hope series, but glad that you're here. A couple of announcements before I get started. Isabella's home. She's doing overall fairly well. She actually had a seizure today, so we're dealing with that, so you can keep praying. But overall, she's doing well, and we're glad to have her home. We were able to have Christmas together as a family, and it was a great time together. All the grandkids were over, and it was just a lot of fun. So I'm going to try to start bringing these back at 6 o'clock in the morning. Just got a little bit behind with the, Christmas holidays, that kind of thing. So let's dive into God's Word in just a moment. But if you are enjoying these videos, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in the Washington Defender app, place us in your huddle. So I want to use this verse from Hebrews. I'm looking at my prompter here. Hebrews chapter 10 as our root verse. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And this is going to be, my hope is for 2026, that this will be a year that we hold fast to our hope of in Jesus Christ without wavering. I think there's going to be a lot of trials coming our way. There's going to be a lot of things happening. And we just really need to come to that place where my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. So we want to hold on to that hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And so this is 2026. This is going to be a year that you're going to be incredibly faithful to God Almighty and just walk in faithfulness. You may not understand certain things that take place this next year, but walk in that faithfulness of God and just say, you know what? I'm going to remain faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So we want to keep fellowshipping together, drawing near to each other, assembling together. And if you don't have a home church, you need to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching home church that's going to preach the whole counsel of God's Word and just simply dive into it and get into it. So this is going to be our verse for the next couple of weeks as we get into the God's Word together and study it out about having a faith that's unwavering and understanding God is faithful, and that we're going to stimulate each other in love and good deeds. Okay, so I thought we'd look at Abraham. You know, I love the story of Abraham. Abraham, obviously the father of our faith as Christians and as Jews, we love Abraham. And so by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. So in Hebrews chapter 11, we see how the New Testament apostles viewed Abraham. And I want to read this because we're going to read Genesis 22 in just a few moments here. But I want you to have this context. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. So oftentimes there's people who get confused about Abraham's offering up of Isaac. And he said it was a test versus what we learned. And he who had received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. Who do we have that offered up his only begotten son? Could it be the father, Jesus? So remember that Abraham's offering of Isaac is a foreshadow of what was to come later on. Begotten son, it was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. So Abraham, Isaac is the son of Abraham, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob later becomes Israel. So this is what's fun about this, is that you understand that Abraham's tested. He takes the one test, and he offers that up to the Lord. And we see this, that the descendants will come from Isaac. He said, and he considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead. So this phrase right here, that God is able to raise people from the dead, is the key to all of understanding Abraham's story. What do I mean by that? it doesn't make sense if you think God is asking Abraham to do child sacrifice. Story doesn't make sense. But if you understand that Abraham, God had asked Abraham to offer his son, his only begotten son, and Abraham believed that God would raise him from the dead, it would not be a child sacrifice. It would be a miracle. In fact, that would make Isaac the Messiah. So when we see this, this is the context that we have to understand this in. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. So the story that we're going to read in Genesis 22, right here in my Bible, and that story needs to be understood through the belief in the resurrection. Now you may be thinking, how does this apply to me? Well, has God promised resurrection power to be in your life? Has he said that as you walk with me and you're faithful to me, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you? And the answer is yes. So this is going to be a year of hope. Not hope in your circumstances, not hope in those things around you, but hope in the one who resurrects from the dead, just like Abraham believed. One more proof text just to give you, or context text to give you before we get into Abraham's story. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that if is the son, those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. Now look at this. The scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. So Abraham had the gospel preached. There's only been one gospel. There will always be one gospel. There's never two, just one. And he had the gospel preached. What is the gospel message? That the only begotten would die on the cross for our sins, that he would be buried, that he resurrected, and that he appeared. So Abraham had probably death and resurrection, the key components of the gospel as the foundation. Why do I bring this up? When we read Genesis 22, it's important to understand that. Now, again, you may be thinking, okay, public square wise, as I go into my workplace, as I do my thing, how does this apply to me? The same gospel that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you. We have another week of holiday coming up with the new year and all the kind of things that we're going to go through. And as you interact with people, that gospel message is dwelling inside of you through the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all right here, all inside of your soul. And that is a place that the gospel reigns forever. And so as we go through tough times, as we walk in the valleys, as we are at those places where it just doesn't seem like it's going to cut out, I want to remind you that greater is Jesus Christ who is in you than he that's in the world. And that's why when you go back to that Hebrew scripture, it says consider, for he who has promised is faithful. And so God is going to be faithful to himself first and foremost this year, and then to you. As we walk in that faithfulness of God, he's going to do it. So now let's read Genesis chapter 22, and let's read it together. It says, now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. This year, are you going to say, God, when God says your name, are you going to say, here I am? Here I am, Lord. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham, now remember, Abraham believed, because in these previous chapters, we see that Abraham was preached the gospel. Now you're saying, wait, I must have missed it. I didn't see it. Well, in Galatians, when Paul writes about it, he says, God foreseeing that he would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Now, that could be in a lot of different ways, of understanding. And in that, Paul clarifies this. He says that all nations will be blessed inside of you. So the thing that you have to understand is Abraham would have logically thought, okay, so if I'm supposed to offer up my son, and Isaac is my only son between me and Sarah, then God must raise him from the dead. Now, whether God said that verbally or from a logical standpoint, we don't know. But we do know that Abraham believed in the resurrection. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and he split wood for the burnt offerings and arose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. On which day? The third day. Isn't that beautiful? On the third day, he saw where the sacrifice was going to be. Jesus was in the tomb 3 days. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. What does he say? Stay here with the donkeys, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will return to you. So he's going to offer up his son, but there's that word we right there, right in the middle of it. And he understood that God was going to raise him from the dead. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hands the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So New Testament believers, looking back at the Old Testament story, specifically Paul, we see that he believed in the resurrection, and he knew that this gospel message was preached. He knew that they would come back after worship. He understood that they would be there. So we look at this, and it says, then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound the son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So remember, during this time, he's believing in the resurrection. It says, but the angel of the Lord called to him, saying from heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Do you notice that again and again? Here I am, here I am, here I am. This year, God may just call to you through the word of God. Are you going to say, here I am? Is this going to be a year of hope in Jesus Christ and hope in the gospel message and hope in what God is going to do? In this great state that we live in, God wants to do something amazing as we turn our hearts back to God. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God. 2026 needs to be a year that we have a holy reverence or fear of God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket. So here we have the substitutionary work of God, caught in the thicket. And where was I? Caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son, in the place of his son. Substitutionary work. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. So 2026, where is your confidence and hope this year? My hope is your confidence and hope is in God's faithfulness. Not God's faithfulness to every whim and desire and, you know, breeze that blows by, but God's confident in God that he is able to finish the work that he has began in your life, in your walk with God, that God is faithful to complete that work. This will be a year where you lead people to Jesus Christ, that you will see transformation of those around you, and to know that God, the same God who raised Jesus from the dead, the same God who spoke of the resurrection to Abraham, the same God who calls out our name, and will we be willing to say, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Here I am, God. Just come in and touch my heart and my life. I believe that today is going to be a great day, and I also believe that 2026 is going to be an amazing time with our God. What's our biggest dream for 2026? Could we believe that we see a great revival in the hearts of people that turn to the living God? Can we have this be a year where we say, God, not us, but you, where we turn back to God, whether it's our legislators, our senators, our House representatives, or it's our executive branch or our judicial branch, that repentance comes to these different branches or to our county commissioners, or maybe it's the city council, or maybe it's your school board, that this will be a year of hope where people turn back to God in repentance and say, God, you are able. You are able to supply that newness of life that we need. Because reality is, it's not working. It's not, you know, the overtaxation in Washington State, all the stuff that's going on in Washington State to dishonor God, is not working, and we need to turn back to God in repentance to our living God. So let's pray, and then we're going to call it a day, and we're going to do, like I said, seven. I think I'm going to go to January 3rd on hope for 2026. That's my goal. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day, and I do thank you that as we go throughout our day today and tomorrow, God, that you would be glorified in all that we say and do. God, let this be 2026, be a year of hope, not in our circumstances, not in political outcomes, but our hope is in you. Would you change us from the inside out, oh God? Would you cause there to be newness of life in every branch of government, in every area that, God, that you want to influence, whether it's our school districts, our small business, our large business, our tech industries, our farmers, God, whatever it might be in our forest industry, God, you are a God that wants to do something amazing. Would you balance the scales? Would you cause justice to roll off? God, would you change us from the inside out, God, that we would not be a worshipers of money or of stuff or anything else, but we would be worshipers of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we are asking for salvation across this land. We're asking for people to turn to you, to know you in a deep and intimate way. Use us, God. Give us influence. Give us favor. Give us all that you want to do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We believe in the risen Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard